This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Welcome to Pharmacy Facts with Friends, the show about living well. Pharmacy Facts with Friends with Dale Coley and Lauren Young, only on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Welcome back to Pharmacy Facts with Friends. It is such a beautiful day out today. I can't believe it's already the almost third full week of January.
I know. It's so fun to come up here because we get the sunset right now with the timing, and we're so high that it's so gorgeous. Back in the old studio, we were kind of, when you're ground level, you don't appreciate the height and the view we have. So I feel spoiled, but I'll take it. This is fun.
That's right. Well, we have a really exciting show today. I am so excited to bring our first guest on. I am very active, Megan, as you know, on social media and advocacy, and that is really a passion of mine. And I met Beth Waldron through her Twitter advocacy and really getting to understand her mission. And, you know, we share a lot of similarities because we have patients going through a lot of the same struggles. So, Beth, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Well, we're very excited to have you. And so we just want to jump right in. Why don't you let our listeners know a little bit of your background and then how Clot Connect came to be about?
Sure. Well, first of all, I'm in North Carolina. And 18 years ago, when I was 34 years old, I had blood clots, deep vein thrombosis and pulmonary embolism. I had blood clots in my legs and blood clots in my lungs. And they were not initially diagnosed. My leg pain, they thought was a pulled muscle. The shortness of breath I had, they thought was a respiratory infection, and I was given antibiotics. And it was only after a second near-fatal clotting episode that landed me in the hospital for quite some while that I received the correct diagnosis, and that sort of spurred me to become a patient advocate. And from that, I discovered I had a clotting disorder, a thrombophilia, which means that I'm at high risk for developing another blood clot in the future. Wow. So what that means is I'm going to be on a lifelong anticoagulant, a blood thinning medication, to prevent another blood clot. And this is something that runs in my family. My father also had DVT and PE. And unfortunately, when he was on a blood thinning medication, he developed a massive internal bleed, which they were not able to control. And he died as a result of his bleeding on his medication. And so, first of all, that tells me the risks of both my condition and the treatment that comes with it. And that had really motivated me to make sure that both patients and doctors were educated and informed and could be proactive about this condition. So in 2010, I co-founded a thrombosis educational program at the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill called Clot Connect, and it's online at clotconnect.org. And the goal is to educate both patients and clinicians about blood clots and about anticoagulation. And since that time, I've been an outspoken advocate for both patients and clinical education. I think it takes both patients and providers working together to have the best outcome. But unfortunately, what I'm starting to see is we have these third-party entities, these pharmacy benefit managers, that are increasingly beginning to get into the way of the decisions that are being made between doctors and patients. And that's sort of where a lot of my advocacy at the moment is leading me.
And that's where the main source of my frustration has been for the last couple of years is those evil middlemen that you just mentioned, those pharmacy benefit managers or PBMs. So I am so sorry to hear about your history and the story that led you to your advocacy, but it really does take those testimonials in order to wake some people up to this plight, unfortunately.
And I'm glad you said that because it just woke me up, because we talked about PBMs, the legislation you're working with currently in Illinois, because there's been a lot that's been going through the past couple years that our legislature has worked on to help with this cause. But yeah, like you're saying, with how they've been involved with, is, and you're a perfect example, Beth, a life-threatening situation that you're lucky enough you've taken the time and research to advocate for yourself to find the right medication to begin with, which they didn't even diagnose right for the longest time. And then you were helping others by your story and putting all that information to good use at the University of North Carolina to help people. But now you have this group that's threatening the availability of your medication, which directly affects you. And that is very disheartening. And it's very scary to anybody who is on a medication to help a lifelong condition they have to deal with for the rest of their life. Like, this could happen to anybody with any kind of condition.
It absolutely could. And it's especially scary for the class of medication I take, which is a blood thinning medication. Mm-hmm. It's the number one class of medication for adverse events. And primarily because the reason we take a blood thinning medication is either we have an increased risk for clots, an increased risk of stroke, and you take this medication to prevent that, but the side effect of this medication is it causes an increased risk for bleeding. And so, it's a delicate balance between bleeding and clotting, and it really requires expert management to manage your condition. So I have been stable on Eliquis, apixaban, for the past 8 years to prevent a clot recurrence. And, it's a treatment decision that I made after consulting multiple specialists, who reviewed my medical history, who, looked at all the reasons I might have for clotting, all the reasons I might have for developing a bleed, and they decided, and they all agreed, that this particular medication at this particular dose is what I need to prevent a clot recurrence and to avoid the bleeding complication that happened to my father. So it's very disturbing when I get a letter kind of out of the blue, like I got right before Thanksgiving from CVS Caremark, which is my PBM, that said, I'm not going to be able to continue on that medication, and I have to switch to another medication.
And again, this is an example of non-medical switching. There is no evidence, Beth, that you should be switching this medication. Per your team of doctors that know you very well, you have been having success on the same medication for 8 years. The only change is that this pharmacy benefit manager gets a better kickback because they put Xarelto instead of Eliquis on your plan formulary.
And I have to ask, what do the physicians say with them making this decision for you? Do they say this medication that now they're recommending for you to take will be just as efficient and work the same way, or they say no?
Well, it's interesting. There was an immediate outcry from the cardiovascular physician community, patient and physician community. And in my 18 years of advocacy, I have never seen this kind of immediate outcry. Physicians with the American College of Cardiology, with the American Society of Hematology, as well as 14 other nonprofits, came together and they contacted CVS Caremark. Physicians met with them in person, as well as submitted letters to them, essentially all but begging them, please don't go through with this decision. And they cited the clinical evidence showing them how dangerously disruptive this decision would be. Because the reason people take this is, because they have heart rhythm issues or they have blood clotting issues. And these are patients who need to be stable on their blood thinning medication. So despite all these physicians, appealing to Caremark, they went ahead with this change anyway. And that, to me, is just absolutely egregious. I, as a patient, as an advocate, was shocked. I could understand them not listening to us, the patients, but I was shocked that they would not listen to these top-tier physician organizations.
Absolutely. I think that shows another level of disrespect that the PBMs tend to have for not only the patients, as you mentioned, but also their medical community and other providers that are in the Caremark network. That's the crazy thing. This is not a PBM like Optum that owns a lot of physicians, and they're saying our team of physicians isn't saying this. That's just crazy.
And it makes me wonder why. You know, why did they drop Eliquis from formulary rather than simply, let's say, raise it to another tier? Mm-hmm. That would have been bad enough to make it unaffordable. But by dropping it entirely, you know, that is a very serious change in formulary. And the CVS Caremark president happens to be a cardiologist himself.
Wow.
So he himself should be very well informed of the clinical evidence, which shows how effective this particular medication is. It is a go-to drug in the cardiology community. That's why there was such an outcry about this. You know, there is no clinical reason for this decision. It is clearly, you know, a contractual issue whereby CVS Caremark struck a better deal with one company over another, and patients have gotten caught in the middle of it.
And this is a little bit different than some of the insulin issues that we're hearing of, because I know that some of the legislators and even some of the big PBMs have stated, you know, there is some manufacturer patient assistance programs so that can make this very, very high full cash or cash retail price available. And that's not really the case for Eliquis.
Hmm. Well, there are patient assistance programs, but they are not going to bring it down to a level to make it affordable for most patients. You know, it really, the options are very limited.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this also plays into health equity in that mm-hmm. wealthy patients will be able to continue on their medication, and patients who do not have the financial resources will be forced to switch to other medications.
And there's not really an appeal process for this new...
Well, it's interesting. The letter I received as a patient, there's only been one communication from CVS Caremark, did not mention an appeals process.
Mm-hmm.
However, when the physicians met with Caremark, Caremark was very quick to say, Eliquis is still an option for your patient through the appeals process, through the prior authorization process. However, this prior authorization process is not an answer for most patients.
Mm-hmm.
The selection criteria is very restrictive. Part of the criteria, for example, I'm required to meet is to try the new medication and fail that new medication first before then being allowed to continue on the medication I've been on for the past 8 years, or have another medical need, but they do not define what that medical need is. So it's very subjective of the person reviewing that prior authorization request. And here's the kicker. If I were to be approved for the prior authorization, it is at a higher tier than where I'm currently at, which makes it subject to coinsurance and deductible. For me as an individual patient, that adds about $2,500 annually to the cost of this medication, which is going to make it unaffordable for some patients, a lot of patients.
Oh, absolutely.
So in practical terms, very few patients are going to qualify for the prior authorization.
So let me ask you, as somebody who doesn't know a lot about PBMs in general, which is pharmacy benefit mm-hmm. managers, is their formal title with their acronym. So pharmacy benefit managers. Now, in any issue, you can usually, when there's a change, you can contact a legislator, you can call the office. With them, is there a way to, can you advocate with them? Can you call them? Can you try to change their minds on these decisions? Or how are these decisions made? And how final are these decisions once they are made?
Well, in terms of the formulary decision, you know, because I've been a little bit of a squeaky wheel on Twitter, my case was elevated to what they called an executive escalation team, which basically means they know my name now. and even they were not able to assist me to remain on Eliquis, believe it or not. When we finally got through several weeks and hoops at the end of the day, I was still not able to get approved to remain on my medication. What I found out was they do have a formulary review committee, which is comprised of 16 physicians and pharmacists, and they cite this committee that has having blessed this formulary change, and that gives them sort of the clinical cover for saying it, this is justified. There really is no good appeal. My particular health plan is a state health plan. It's for state employees in North Carolina, and it just happens to be administered by the state treasurer of North Carolina. So I have appealed through them. I've appealed through Caremark. I've tried all routes, and basically I, as a patient, have hit a dead end going through both directions. So I think the average patient really does not have a recourse. And I think that goes back to sort of the issue with PBMs, and that is, as a patient, I don't choose the PBM.
Mm-hmm.
I choose my insurance, and as an employer-provided plan, I really only have one option for insurance. And when I sign up for insurance, it's my insurer who chooses a PBM. They're sort of subcontracting out the pharmacy benefit to a PBM. I have no say in that. I happen to be a captive consumer. I can't pick up and change PBMs if I don't like how my pharmacy benefit is being managed. And what I very much don't like is these decisions come out after we have already signed up for benefits for the year. So, for example, I received this letter the week of Thanksgiving. We enrolled for our employee benefits back in October. So, you know, there's really, you know, we're captive. We patients, you know, we really have no recourse for this.
Right. And that is so disheartening to hear. And that's something that we hear at the pharmacy level daily, that, you know, they have an issue with a medication, whether they either can't afford it or they have already done the fail first type of, you know, games, either with that drug or a different drug. They finally got on one that works, and then their insurance changes and it kicks them back out because each insurance plan wants you to try a different fail-first kind of maze.
Well, I can see why you're so passionate now about this, and Beth, you as well, because this is your livelihoods. It's everybody's livelihoods when it comes to your health. Right. And how are they willing to risk? That is such a gamble to have people change something that's very, like you said, very delicate, very strenuous to try to find what aligns with your condition. And then you finally get it. It's not like it's just a one quick fix. You formulate what medication you need to your condition. If it works and you're doing well with it, how are they going to guarantee that a new drug is going to do the same thing for your condition? I mean, that is somebody going to have a major life altering problem, and even that could even result in a death, for this to change back if this other medication is not working the same way? I think that's a huge risk.
My concern is that there could be adverse events, and how will we know about that, and how will we hear about that? This is not a decision that impacted 10 people. This particular formulary change of Eliquis impacted 150,000 patients. So, you know, there's a lot of potential out there. I worry about those patients who perhaps have low health literacy, who don't know how to be advocates in their own health care, who perhaps did not understand this letter when they got it in the mail. And they're going to go to the pharmacy counter this month and try to get their prescription refilled, and they're going to get surprised. And they potentially may be disruptive on their medication until they can get it sorted out. And that's the patients I worry about.
Well, where is your current standing with it, Beth? Have you sorted it out? Have you found a way to stay on this? Or are you still, is it still, have you, or have you gone to this new prescription they're recommending?
Well, I actually got a call from my physician late this afternoon, and it's, seems like the decision we have made is that I will be switching medications. That is the, you know, I did try for a prior authorization, but given, you know, a number of factors, call cost, administrative burden, various things. In my medical history, we've decided that, we are going to take the path of least resistance and switch. And I think that's a very practical decision that mm-hmm. many patients will be making. And quite honestly, if I, as an advocate, can't make it easily happen, I think a lot of these 150,000 other patients are not going to be able to easily make it happen either. I just don't know what the recourse is. And I think that's the very scenario in which we need greater patient protections mm-hmm. to prevent this sort of thing from happening. So that if patients are stable on their medication, no matter what that medication is,
right,
let them stay on it. At least grandfather them into any changes.
Especially if it's a lifelong medication.
This is so disruptive. There's just no reason for it. When it's mm-hmm. for a non-medical reason. It's for a cost reason only.
Yeah, that's scary.
Oh, absolutely.
And we, the patients, will never know the contract reasons why.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's what we see so many of these tales mm-hmm. in the advocacy sector. And Beth, I really think that it's important to remind our listeners that this is a, state employee health plan, because we are told, mm-hmm. Through my work with Pharmacists United for Truth and Transparency, that it's the state's choice. That's the employer's choice. They chose this. They think this is going to be the best for their employees. But if 150,000 employees, even if a fraction of that 150,000 impacted employees under this have an issue, then there's red flags all right. over this. We're not cherry picking one example to say, ooh, PBMs are evil. This is thousands of patients that are impacted. And then their families will be impacted by an adverse event happening as well.
I'm just really happy the cardiologist stepped up and that they're mm-hmm. paying attention. It just kind of goes to show that they're always kind of watching things and that they're still advocating for their patients. And I hope everything goes well for you, Beth. I just really enjoyed listening.
Well, thank you.
Lauren fills me in quite a bit about all the advocacy work she's doing and the difference she's making being a pharmacy owner. But to hear something like your story and what you've had to deal with it personally as a patient, it just really kind of puts a new perspective in my mind as well.
Oh, well, thank you. And I think it takes each of us. We each have a role to play. The patients have to speak up. Clinicians have to speak up. Pharmacists have mm-hmm. to speak up. If we're silent and we just let these things keep rolling by, nothing changes. And we know that things can be better, and we know it has to be better. So I appreciate the opportunity to share this with you. And if there are patients listening who are impacted, talk to your doctor. Ask them about a prior authorization. Call the number on your insurance card. Ask them about an appeals process. Call the Eliquis manufacturer. Ask them about financial assistance and patient assistance programs. Get squeaky. Ask questions. be an advocate for your own care.
That's right.
Unfortunately, that's what we've got to do, mm-hmm.
Well, Beth, I can already tell you you're making a difference on the advocacy standpoint because of all of the outcry that you've heard. So your mission is not for naught. You definitely are making an impact there. And if this changes one person's story, I feel like that's been a win against the PBMs.
Absolutely. Keep being squeaky, Lauren.
Well, I hope so.
Well, Beth, and we will also be sharing your Twitter handle. It's @BethWaldron, WALDRON. I highly recommend that people follow you on Twitter, and definitely check out the Clock Connect website, just so you can also have resources that are available to patients. We're a very high-risk cardiac area in Illinois, and so that's definitely a passion project of ours as well. So we will definitely be keeping in touch, Beth, and I hope that you will be back, and hopefully there'll be some more advocacy news in the future.
Absolutely. Listen, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for your time. We'll be right back with more Pharmacy Facts with Friends in just a few moments.
Bob Brady announces the end of the tax cap on trades. Get to Bob Brady now to get the full sales tax deduction on your trade.
You could save big.
As of January 1st, the state of Illinois has removed the trade-in reduction cap. Get to Bob Brady now to take advantage of this additional tax savings. But maybe you don't want to trade. Maybe you just want to sell.
Let Brady buy it.
The automotive experts at Bob Brady are ready to buy your car. It's easy. Just bring it in. With most vehicles, we can make an offer your first visit. Bring your title or loan papers and get ready to get paid. We do the paperwork.
Even if you don't buy one of ours, we'll buy yours.
Get true NADA book values and top dollar. Not running? No problem. We bid non-working vehicles too. Don't let it sit there in your garage or driveway. This winter, ditch the eyesore and stop paying license and insurance.
At both locations.
The Bob Brady Auto Mall just off I-72 at exit 144 in Decatur, or Bob Brady Buick GMC at exit 141 in Forsyth.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Illinois Army National Guard. Aired by the Illinois Broadcasters Association and this station.
Growing your family, opening your own business, retiring to travel, leaving your legacy. At Busey Bank, we know there's a lot to look forward to and a lot of planning along the way. Celebrate your life's milestones by putting your money to work. Busey Bank. Building business, growing wealth since 1868. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
Now back to Pharmacy Facts with Friends on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Welcome back to Pharmacy Facts with Friends. You're here with Lauren Young and Megan Berhaney, and we just had a fantastic conversation with Beth Waldron, who is a patient advocate and also a survivor of a deep vein thrombosis and pulmonary embolism. And it was amazing to hear her, I guess, reason for getting into the patient advocate game and really how she took that role on and has really run with it.
Oh, it's incredible. In the foundation she's started.
Mm-hmm.
I respect that, like what you've done.
And it's amazing.
Your brother's honor as well. That you're helping others.
She was able to get physicians interested in this topic. And a lot of the times, one of the walls that we run into in our fight against PBMs is that PBMs really try to distance pharmacists and physicians. Hmm. It's a little harder in our town because there is so much crossover between, you know, the different hospitals and, you know, our pharmacy and things like that. And so they really can't shy away from Dale or Erica or our staff whenever we call with a question, because they know that our patients won't give up and we won't give up until we find an answer. And so that's really the advocacy approach that we've always taken. And so, but Beth is totally right that some patients just get discouraged or bogged down or frustrated with having to call. We've all had a situation where we've had to call either a provider or even, you know, anyone have to call more than two or three times and either not get a call back, not get an answer. Mm-hmm. And it's so frustrating. And so they just push it to the side. This is their health though. That's really hard to do. You know, if they're not feeling well, if they're sick, if they have a chronic condition, if they're in pain, that's not something that really goes away on its own.
No, it doesn't. And this is kind of a little off what we're talking about, but this is a perfect example of the advantage of us living in a smaller town.
Mm-hmm.
Matt and I talk about it quite a bit, is just the fact that our pharmacy is your pharmacy and that we have that personal relationship that you fight for your customer. And I think that's a big testimony to you too, because you're so involved in this advocacy and the reason you're doing it is because you want the best outcome for your customers. And that is what you stand for. So you're really doing a good job. And just the fact that you're expanding almost your own territory, like finding Beth because of her Twitter cries, but look at it, it got your attention, an Illinoisan, when she's in North Carolina, because her story's so important. And like we're talking about, I didn't bring it up to her, but what bothered me too with her story is COVID, I really just kind of the more and more I'm learning, and I think it would be interesting to talk to Dr. Fletcher. It's kind of, it's affecting different parts, everything really, but really the heart is being affected. And God forbid she's had COVID or she gets COVID. And with her condition, I don't know. It's just, it's scary.
Oh, absolutely. One of the questions on the vaccine questionnaire is, are you on a blood thinner? And so that's definitely something that they want the vaccinator, whether it's your physician or a pharmacist or a nurse that's coming to you, they want to make sure they know that, because they want to make sure that that's talked about and that you understand that getting a vaccine could make you bleed a little bit more. Or if you have clotting issues, you need to make sure you mention that.
Yeah.
So that's definitely something that you we have to keep in our forefront right now. And I totally agree that COVID and having a cardiac issue or a blood clotting issue or blood thinning issue is of concern.
It is.
And so I think that it's a great service what she is doing. And there are thousands of people who are supporting her and, you know, sharing this letter that she received from CVS Caremark, and
I hope
really
it changes
trying
something.
To make a difference. And so that's one thing that I really appreciate and support her for doing. That's no small task. And, you know, to feel so beaten down by those PBMs and then to get a group of 14 associations together and then fight, you know, and they got a meeting with, you know, several of them were able to meet with the executives on the Caremark team. And then we're still told that while you have a nice medical opinion, it's not quite what we think will be best basically for our bottom line.
Well, are they made up of physicians?
She said it's physicians and pharmacists that make up this group. But obviously the formulary review group is on staff of Caremark. It's not an independent agency, you know, so they also have to look at it through the lens of this drug we get a better deal on, the Xarelto or warfarin drug. And so that's why they choose that. And it's so heartbreaking. I mean, we also see it, as I mentioned, on the insulin side as well. These people are on, these patients are on lifelong medication, and their body finally adjusts to something after so many issues with other things. Or as Beth mentioned, she was misdiagnosed at first, and it took two almost fatal episodes of her being in the hospital. And one of the groups that has signed on in support of her efforts is the Women's Heart, the National Coalition for Women with Heart Disease. And I think that's so important, because women are the primary caregivers for their families and their loved ones. They make 85% of the healthcare decisions in this country.
85%.
Yes. And
oh
so that's amazing.
It
and
is.
The, you know, just the fact that this group has chosen to get behind Beth's effort. And I mean, the women's health issues are very serious, and sometimes women don't take them, you know,
they ignore it because, and unfortunately, when there is something that feels off, you're caught in both decisions, because like, you are the caretaker. You don't want anything to be wrong with you, and you don't have the time for anything to be wrong with you. But at the same time, if something happens because you prevent it from being taken care of when you feel it's off, you're also putting yourself at risk for not, God forbid, being there for your family or having a condition that was preventable actually happen, like heart attacks.
And then to watch her father have similar medical issues like she has, that has always got to be in the back of her mind. And so she knows this is serious. She knows that it definitely has to be managed. And so she really has to advocate for that in her life. She's not, she does not have the luxury to not do that. We hear that a lot with the diabetic advocates here in Illinois, especially just because the people that I follow on social media and I'm friends with, things like that, I see a lot of their posts. And, you know, a lot of the things that they talk about is that some of the legislation is not able to help their cause, or some of the talking points from the PBMs to the diabetic advocates are, well, you just, you don't need this medication. You just need to lose weight, or you need to eat something different, or things like that. And there are diabetic patients that did not choose this. You know, they were born with something, with either an issue in their pancreas or something in their body that makes them unable to do that. This is not the, you know, choice of saying, oh, I have a headache. I really can't afford to take an aspirin right now. This is,
right.
I need insulin. I can't afford to miss this. Otherwise, my body cannot function.
Right. And I mean, God forbid with cancer and some of these diseases out there that it's when you go through chemotherapy mm-hmm. and if you get through and you are in remission, you can move on. But like with diabetes, it's not that way at all. I mean, it's something you have to really, if you're in the beginning, you take oral antibiotics, but just the insulin injections, the pumps, all there's a mm-hmm. lot of different things that are involved, and it's an everyday thing and it's a lifelong thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that in itself is a horrible thing to have to undertake because who wants that disease?
Right.
I have a family member that has it. It's a pain because it affects a lot of different areas, but yeah. And just to have the stress from already having a diagnosis of something and the stress of not knowing if your insurance is going to pay for it is just a whole nother avenue that's not fun.
That's right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Pharmacy Facts with Friends in just a few minutes. And then we get to talk about some of the great items that I found at the Atlanta Gift Show over the past week.
Yes.
Be right back.
With renewed hope, new opportunities, and new ways to give, the Community Foundation of Macon County welcomes the new year by announcing our first open grant of 2022 with $200,000 in available funding from the Community Works Endowment. I'm Tony Holly of the Community Foundation, and we are excited to kick off the new year as we continue to support the important work being done on the front lines by our local nonprofits, churches, and educational organizations dedicated to sustaining and improving our community. Please check out this amazing grant-funded opportunity designated for organizations and groups addressing education, workforce development, and land use and preservation issues. The application portal closes February 18th. Give me a call at 217-429-3000 or visit MaconCountyGives.org for more details. Please join us in appreciation for our generous community as we work towards a new year of health, happiness, and opportunities for everyone.
Maroa Lumber has been family-owned and operated for over 65 years. At Maroa Lumber, we carry an extensive line of high-performing building materials with brands like Anderson Windows and Patio Doors, Therma-Tru Entry Doors, TimberTech Composite Decking, and CHI Overhead Doors. We also carry dimensional and treated lumber, Pratt & Lambert paint, and so much more. And don't forget about our rental department, featuring clean, well-maintained equipment with flexible rental hours. For any project, large or small, Maroa Lumber can help you get the job done. Give us a call, 217-794-2226.
Byers & Company on WSOY.
Oh, and then, of course, Spain's got to bring Elvis into it.
Which generation?
Tomorrow's his 87th birthday. Would be Elvis Presley's.
I bet seeing him on the front end with the hips and the blues just going after it and then mailing it in at the end there.
Right.
Byers & Company, weekday mornings 6 to 9 on WSOY Decatur, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. And streaming live at nowdecatur.com. Friends helping friends. This is Pharmacy Facts with Friends with Dale's Southlake Pharmacy and Coley's Corner Drugs on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Welcome back to Pharmacy Facts with Friends. You're here with Lauren Young and Megan Brahaney, and oh my gosh, this show has flown by.
I can't believe this. It's seriously been an amazing show. She was incredible. I think the work you're doing again has been incredible. I love listening to what you're doing, and even hopefully someday I can go with you and help you advocate a little bit if you go over to Springfield, because it's just a great thing you're doing.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. We have a lot more updates about the upcoming session. Mm-hmm. I hope. So hopefully there'll be positive updates that we're able to bring back some good news for our patients and employers and things like that. So that's our goal.
Yes. But,
so last week, over the past 5 days, I've been in Atlanta and been at the Atlanta Gift Show. And that is where we get to buy all of the new fun goodies for the upcoming season.
That is so cool. And actually, really quick, mm-hmm. I think I said your name. I went to Godfrey to visit my grandma, and they have this store called the White Birch,
mm-hmm.
and their owner was in Atlanta. And my grandma might have said 6 times, "We can't go to White Birch because so and so is in Atlanta." And I go, "I know it's market. My best friends there. Like, we, I know what market is. She was explaining over and over how neat it is, but I was thinking of you so much.
Well, good. It was a really fun time. We went down and actually saw some other local owners, Chrissy from Giggles, and we saw Carol Struckfist. We saw her down there.
I love that you guys post. It's almost like you help us get a sneak peek of what we can get in the future, and what for people who've never been, you're actually showcasing what it is. And then you can have your customers say, oh, can you really get that for the store? Because I would buy that in a heartbeat. It's just, that's the one advantage we have with social media.
I had a friend that was posting a handbag that she liked, and she, you know, from an online boutique. And I'm like, hey, I just saw some of those and ordered them at this place.
Were they the satchel bags?
Uh-huh.
Oh,
the
those
little
were
sling
awesome.
Bags. Yes. And so we found some really cute ones.
So
we have
cute.
Some new things for tennis lovers coming in. That's right.
Was I inspiring that?
Every time we saw something that had a tennis ball or, you know, love, things like that, it was so funny.
And I love it.
Yeah, and it was great. I think I got like 10 birthday present ideas for you when I was down there.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's really good, because I found an online shop that's Court something, and I had a basket of like 15 things and I did not buy one of them, because I think I kind of got out of that mode. Like, what are you doing? You can't just buy a tennis pin because you're obsessed with tennis. But I wanted to. It was amazing.
We saw all the new little new styles, things like that.
Like the skirts?
All we saw, we did see some accessories.
Ooh.
So we saw one of the big thing for accessories for the upcoming season is more beaded bags, like little thin beads that make a decoration. So
cute.
You know, so there was
did
that.
You take pictures?
Yes, I do. I
okay.
have some pictures.
And
I'll post
CDs.
Those on our social media too.
Nice.
And we have great new spring and summer apparel coming from Simply Southern. And
oh, I love your Simply
there's
Southern.
There's some new matching, you know, mommy and me outfits from Simply Southern with
cute.
Has that really fun spring, summer, almost like a Lily Pulitzer.
Elizabeth,
you know,
loves
inspired. Yeah.
That whole line. She's very particular, but thank goodness for you and the store, because she will go. They love going in there, but they come out with.
One thing that we're really lots excited of things. About that I was showing you at the break or during the break was these little Yodo storybook readers.
Yes.
And so it's like an audiobook without a tablet or a device.
I love
it. You know, you really have to, a screen, really. And so you have a little square, and you take the, it looks like a playing card, but it's a storybook, and you can put it in the machine, and it will read the story to your child. So a lot of them are popular, you know, Disney movie stories.
Wow.
Those 5-minute bedtime stories that you can see, you know, those books are in
see?
Some of the big stores.
What a good thing for a babysitter. If you know there's favorites, and you know, they just the kids aren't as comfortable. You just pop something familiar in when you're babysitting to your kids, and then walk out of the room.
They have Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
Cool.
We got they have some Ramona and Beezus. Those were my favorite books growing up.
I love,
I'm so excited to get those in. And I think it'll be really great, fun, like Easter time present.
The device itself is so cute and cool. Can you put the cards, different cards, in one device, or do you have to buy different ones for a different book?
So you can, one card can go in the device, and then you can get a little carrying case, almost like a baseball trading card little carrying case.
Yes.
And it'll slide in those plastic folder sheets,
and
then
the
you can keep them all
in there.
So you can just switch them out.
That's amazing.
So, yeah.
I love that idea.
We're going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back with some more goodies and treasures from Atlanta. Be right back.
Here's the deal. I've had constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating for years. I've tried a lot of laxatives and fiber supplements, but my symptoms keep coming back.
You could have a chronic condition called irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2 years old. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Talk to a doctor today. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by Abbvie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
Puerto Rico is the new go-to destination for investment opportunities, and Impeller is the new online tool that connects investors with innovative projects seeking capital on the island. Impeller takes the guesswork out of investing in Puerto Rico, surfacing the insights you need to make informed decisions and empower your investment portfolio. Visit investpr.org/impeller and set up your account today to see what the island has to offer. Impeller, your hub for investment opportunities in Puerto Rico. Powered by Invest Puerto Rico.
More than one in three people will face cancer in their lifetime. Unfortunately, fear can stop you from getting cancer screening, but it won't stop cancer. Early detection can save your life. Don't wait for symptoms to appear to act. Cancer screening is safe, effective, and accessible for everyone, including free or low-cost screening programs. Go to cancerscreenquiz.com now and take the American Cancer Society's 2-minute cancer screening quiz to screening tests are right for you. Don't wait. Take the quiz. Get screened. Go to cancerscreenquiz.com now. cancerscreenquiz.com.
Stay up to date on the latest stories, sports, weather, community information, and events with NowDecatur.com. Now Decatur's podcast section is the easiest way to favorite local shows on your time. Miss a high school basketball game? Play-by-play podcasts are also available on the podcast page. While you're there, sign up for The Refresh, the best of Now Decatur, straight to your inbox. And be sure to sign up for text alerts. It's all at NowDecatur.com. Now back to Pharmacy Facts with Friends on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM, streaming live at NowDecatur.com.
Welcome back to Pharmacy Facts with Friends. You're here with Lauren Young and Megan Brahaney. We found some really great finds in Atlanta whenever we were there. We found some more items from this company called Baldhead Blues. Cute. And their spokesperson is Shep Rose from Southern Charm.
Stop it.
On Bravo. And so we've gotten some shirts and things like that in the adult sizes before, but they had kid sizes now. So
wait,
cute.
What is it called?
Bald Head Blues, because there's an island near Charleston, South Carolina.
That's right.
That's all golf carts. And
okay,
so
what is his line? Isn't it? Is it clothes?
This is clothes. Yep, this is kids' clothes. But it's not Shep. Shep's just the spokesperson. He wears the hats and stuff on the show.
Okay. Okay.
So yeah, his friend Claude actually created it.
Was he talking about this on Winterhouse?
Probably.
I think I remember that. Okay.
Yeah.
Did you see him?
Awesome.
There?
No, I didn't see him this time. We've seen him there before, but
you
he wasn't
have?
There this time. Yeah.
Wow.
And so it was great to see. And there was people there, you know,
right.
Instead of the last couple times it's been obviously a little more subdued. We were able to get these really cool lanterns, these indoor-outdoor lanterns
cool.
that are gorgeous. And they'll be able to be put, you know, we think they'd be perfect for a Mother's Day gift. They're nice enough to be inside or outside. There's they're rechargeable, so you don't have to worry about having candles or anything like that.
Really?
They're absolutely gorgeous. They're one of the number one favorite things on the Today Show.
And I love that.
We got these really cool s'more, you know, what a big s'mores fan I am.
Yes,
these
you sent a picture
s'more
of that.
Kits.
What did you find? What was different that I was looking at that picture?
There's a fishing pole that you can put marshmallows on so the kids don't have to have a stick in
it.
The fire. That was cool. You can
Very
also
cool.
do, they also had this one stick and it looks almost like a bowl with horns, like a hot dog
yes.
roasting stick and then the bowl with horns. And then it's called you just rotate it the whole time so the kid doesn't burn the marshmallow or burn the hot dog.
Great idea.
So, yeah. And they're, I mean, made in the USA. That was really cool. We have some, again, some new little kids jewelry, some jewelry boxes. We've
Cute.
Never carried those before. Some new little kid purses. We got some poppets. We have new little fidget things like that. Like we said, we found the Yodos.
Yodos are so cute. You guys, when you see these, you'll be intrigued. It's the perfect Easter gift, and they'll come in right around that time.
I was just telling you about the Olika hand sanitizer, you know,
yes,
the purse hand sanitizer.
And little chicks. So mm-hmm. that's another great
that's right.
Easter present. I'm thinking of spring, Lauren. Spring, spring, spring.
We need to. We have the little, as we talked about, the satchels. That
those are so cool. Mm-hmm. I would love that because I remember my backpack in college was actually a satchel. Gap had them. And it was my favorite thing because I didn't want to wear a backpack. I wanted to wear like a purse.
Mm-hmm.
But it also was really good for my back to have more of a satchel style. And these aren't as big as the one I had as a backpack. But instead of a belt bag, it's almost like a crossbody type belt bag, mm-hmm. which is so cute.
And yes.
They looked like they had some leather options. Like they were more... Mm-hmm. They were trendy. Like they're really, mm-hmm. really cool.
Yes. And Allie was with us this time and she picked out some of these sling bags that are everywhere.
Nice.
And so are going to be everywhere. We found these magnetic raincoats.
Really?
That are so pretty. We really liked those. We found some just really fun, unique items this time. And
see, that's what's so neat. And you have always been a fan of Shark Tank.
Mm-hmm.
So I love, that's almost your passion is to find these. I'm sure there's a lot of people that have been on Shark Tank at market, you know, mm-hmm. that are showcasing their creations or what they've come out of the show with.
Yes. And you're able to see usually in their booth, they have, you know, the actual people who were on Shark Tank, like the home tea company that started on Shark Tank. They just were a basic t-shirt and then they had a picture of the state on it, or they had
I didn't know that.
Yes, so they were there from Shark Tank. We've had several other Shark Tank fun little items in the store, and it was just really something we needed.
Well, you're a fantastic fantastic gift giver. You always have been. One of the favorite things I own is the butterfly wing cheese board.
Yep.
And I don't know, you've just your store is, I mean, everybody says it. They just, when they come out and they're blown away by all the great things in there. You can find something for anything. And you put a little bit of the Coley pizzazz, like the Rita sparkle is found in there, which is what I love. Since I know you all so well, I'm always happy because I know you well enough to know why you chose things for the store. Mm-hmm. And I think it's neat.
Well, thank you. Well, it's been a busy, busy week, but we're glad it's you know, finally kind of coming to an end after market week.
And next month I won't be on time, but it's Valentine's Day and you carry Fannie Mae.
That's right.
And it's amazing. Just get your chocolate, please.
That's right. And we have some really cute new hats and gloves and, you know, winter accessories. Definitely stop in and get that. We will see you tomorrow either at the vaccine clinics at Coley's Corner Drugs from noon to 4 or Friday from noon to 4. Hopefully have a safe rest of your week. We'll be back next week.
Have a great
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.